And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Barthelemy, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert for November 3rd, 2016. I'm Dave Slade, your cradle Catholic. Mark's home recovering from some surgery, and Dan Walker is going to join us here shortly. We're 5 days away from the national election, and today we're going to discuss the election in depth with our guest, Zach Wickman of the Catholic Council of Illinois, for a few minutes about Catholic voting and voting our consciences and the issues that face us. This week we also celebrated All Saints Day on Monday. On Tuesday, and All Souls Day on Wednesday. Can you tell without Mark here to give me guidance that I'm just confused about what's going on? All of November, we'll be remembering all of the faithful departed in our masses and in our prayers. I also want to announce that on our Thanksgiving week show, which will be on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we'll be recording the show in the lobby of St. Mary's Hospital beginning at 10 a.m. We're inviting you, our listeners, to drop by and say hi, and tell us what you're thankful for. So if you've ever wanted to be on the radio, there's your opportunity to stop in, tell Mark and I hi. I think my co-host that week actually is Catherine Smith. Stop in and say hey to us, pick up some of our bumper stickers to slap on your cars, tell us what you're most thankful for. And in the lobby, we'll be right over by the elevators by that waterfall. So that week we may have to take frequent breaks because of the falling water. All right, but right now we have a surprise guest on the phone, our convert, Mark Barthelemy. Mark is home recovering from back surgery last week, and he said he wanted to get his life back to normal as soon as possible. So I thought I'd call and bug him at home. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dave. What's up?
Not much. How you doing?
Oh, hanging in there.
Well, you know, I've had some folks around here and around the parishes asking how you're doing, and you know, I thought, well, I'll just put you on the air and you can tell us so that we don't violate any HIPAA laws.
Oh, well, yeah. I'd be glad to do that.
So what's up?
Oh, not too much. I'm progressing. It's slow, slower than the past three surgeries have been. And
wow.
I think that's probably got to do with my birth certificate more than anything else.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I'm being nursemaided real well by my wife.
Well, good.
Looking after me and taking care of me and making me do what the doctors have told me to do. So I've been up and around today for the first time without my walker, and that's put me at a slower pace, but that's okay. I've got to get some strength back in these legs and get rid of depending on artificial devices to keep me moving.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, originally this injury, your back injury, that occurred back when you were a young patrol officer, isn't that right?
Yeah, sure did, 1978.
And you got backed into a sink pretty hard, or I didn't want to say slammed because it sounded like you lost the fight. But
well, I almost did.
Right above the gun belt, right?
Yeah, right. Saved me from too much further harm. You know, we used to get aggravated at those things sitting on your handcuffs and other devices that were on your backside riding around in that car. And but that was one time it was really a saving grace to have that on there. And, I was on a guy's back with a full Nelson on him when he backed up intentionally through a plywood insert door, which gave way. And I was the first one to go through, of course, as he followed. But I ended up striking my lumbar region of the back on a toilet that was in that bathroom. And that was what did the largest extent of damage. We got him, though, eventually.
We always did, it seems like.
Yep. Had to break one of his legs to keep him down.
Well, darn. Hey, what can we, as your friends and listeners, do for you? Can we bring you a casserole? What can we do?
Well, this is a good opportunity for me to try and lose some of that belly I've developed.
Oh, so no casseroles, okay.
Yeah, no casseroles, just prayers, buddy.
Prayers.
Prayers are the most powerful thing anybody can offer for
you. Well, you got that right. And I've been praying for you, and I'm sure our listeners will throw out an ave for you. And,
all right.
Maybe we'll have you back here in the chair before too awful long. I know you're also anxious to go on a vacation, so.
Yep. We're overdue to get to Florida. We were supposed to be there November 1st. To start our vacation, 2-month vacation down there. But this is throwing a kink in the works, but it was a good thing that I went ahead and had this done.
Yeah.
you know, I knew I had two herniated discs and some stenosis in my spinal canal, or I'm sorry, in the foraminal areas of my lower lumbar that was causing my legs to burn and tingle and all those nasty things nerves do that they can climb the wall. But once they got in there, the doctor found something that didn't show up on the MRI and x-rays, and that was a couple of bone spurs that are the result of arthritis and improper spine alignment with the vertebrae actually knocking together against themselves, generating a callus, if you will, out of bone that grows on its own. And two of those bone spurs had intruded to the spinal canal itself.
Mm. So they think the surgery is going to take care of it this time?
Yeah, I think so. I think the thing that added a little more problem was that in the first one came out clean when the surgeon removed it, and the second one had progressed to the point where it was actually touching on the spinal cord membrane.
Oh, boy.
And so when he went to pull that away, a little piece of the membrane came, and I had a leakage of the cerebral spinal fluid, and that's something that you can't get a transfusion or a shot or a pill for. The body has to regenerate that, and in the interim, it reduces the cushion between your brain and the inside of your skull. And,
yeah, it causes big-time headaches, doesn't it?
Yeah, oh, massive, massive. Man. But I think I'm back. I think I may be by that. I haven't had one yesterday, and the day before there was only one or two short-term ones, so I'm hoping that part of it's over. It's just getting these legs back to working again.
Good. Well, we want to get you back here into the chair before long. You know, I kind of miss not having you here to guide me and
lead me.
So, anyway, I hope you're doing well, Mark. We'll keep you in our prayers. You keep us in your prayers, too, since you're
absolutely
sitting home. You got a lot of time to pray.
That's
so
right. I do a lot.
All right, buddy. We'll also send prayers to the caretaker, Miss Vic.
Yep.
Okay, lots of prayers coming your way, Mark. We'll be right back with Bishop Paparocki's message about the election. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio.
1 year after I graduated Catholic high school, I eloped to Las Vegas, Nevada. My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all loved God and we all loved Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years. When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture. I learned that the Catholic Church was started by Jesus Christ, who gave the authority to Peter, and it has continued in succession down to the present day. And that was the start of my journey home to the Catholic Church.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, with the general election coming up in just a few weeks, people are pondering and praying over their choices. Although candidates are also running for state and local offices, the presidential election this year is unprecedented and most challenging. Those who are concerned with protecting human life from conception until natural death, promoting marriage and family life, and defending religious liberty point to the Democrats' aggressive pro-abortion stance and activist agenda, expanding lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights while restricting religious liberty, as expressed at the Democratic National Convention this past summer and reflected in the 2016 Democratic Party platform. On the other hand, Republicans historically have not fared very well in these same areas in practice, as Supreme Court justices appointed by Republican presidents in the past have rendered decisions advancing abortion rights, recognizing same-sex marriage, and restricting religious freedom. Conversely, Democrats articulate strong concern for the poor, but half a century of the war on poverty has yielded little progress in this regard. Both candidates for president are seen as having such serious flaws as to lead some people to wonder if they can vote for either candidate of the two major parties, or if they should skip voting in this year's election. In the end, people must follow their consciences, but they should also take care to form their consciences properly and make informed decisions. In this regard, the Catholic bishops of the United States provide guidance in their document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, saying, and I quote, "In the Catholic tradition, responsible citizenship is a virtue, and participation in political life is a moral obligation," end of quote. This reflects the teaching of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which reminds us, quote, "It is necessary that all participate, each according to his position and role, in promoting the common good. This obligation is inherent in the dignity of the human person. As far as possible, citizens should take an active part in public life," end of quote. The phrase, "as far as possible," indicates that there may be legitimate limits to our active participation in public life. For example, priests do not normally hold public offices in the civic sphere. Voters may also legitimately conclude in conscience that they cannot vote for either candidate of the two major political parties. In such cases, voters in most jurisdictions can write in the name of a candidate of their choosing. In all cases, voters can skip voting for a particular office, but still vote for other offices on the ballot. A phrase that has been coined to describe those who opt out of participation in political life is the Benedict option, named not after Pope Benedict XVI, but St. Benedict of Nursia, who lived from about 480 to 537. St. Benedict was an educated young Christian who left Rome, the city of the recently fallen empire, out of disgust with its decadence. He went south into the forest near Subiaco to live as a hermit and to pray. Eventually, he gathered around him some like-minded men and formed monasteries. Benedict wrote his famous rule, which became the guiding constitution of most monasteries in Western Europe in the Middle Ages. The monasteries were incubators of Christian and classical culture and outposts of evangelization in the barbarian kingdoms. The idea of the Benedict option was suggested by Alasdair MacIntyre, professor emeritus in the Department of Philosophy at the University of Notre Dame, in his book After Virtue, in which he drew certain parallels between our own age in Western Europe and North America and the epoch in which the Roman Empire declined into the Dark Ages, writing that a crucial turning point in that earlier history occurred when men and women of goodwill turned aside from the task of shoring up the Roman Imperium and ceased to identify the continuation of civility and moral community with the maintenance of that imperium. What they set themselves to achieve instead, often not recognizing fully what they were doing, was the construction of new forms of community within which the moral life could be sustained, so that both morality and civility might survive the coming ages of barbarism and darkness. If my account of our moral condition is correct, we ought also to conclude that, for some time now, we have reached that turning point. What matters at this stage is the construction of local forms of community within which civility and the intellectual and moral life can be sustained through the new dark ages which are already upon us. And if the tradition of the virtues was able to survive the horrors of the last dark ages, we are not entirely without grounds for hope. This time, however, the barbarians are not waiting beyond the frontiers. They have already been governing us for quite some time. And it is our lack of consciousness of this that constitutes part of our predicament. We are waiting not for a Godot, but for another, doubtless very different, Saint Benedict. Others have suggested something more engaged with the world, such as a Dominican option, a Franciscan option, or a Norbertine option. In the end, however, we really do not need to choose Benedict, Dominic, Francis, Norbert, or any other saint after which to name a new option. These are all wonderful saints who point us to a more compelling person. Heaven is full of saints who found different ways to imitate Christ. The real figure to whom we should configure ourselves is Jesus Christ. Moreover, Jesus Christ is not an option in the sense of being optional. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We are called to live lives of ordinary virtue and heroic saintly holiness in imitation of Christ as intentional, dedicated, and faithful disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God give us this grace. Amen.
This is Dale Alquist with a Chesterton Minute on Relevant Radio. Have you ever heard someone say, the Catholic Church is just a bunch of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts, and it's against freedom? G.K. Chesterton says, Catholic doctrine and discipline may be walls, but they are the walls of a playground. Freedom exists only within the rules. The greatest act of freedom is obedience, not disobedience. Breaking the rules never makes us happy, and certainly does not make us free. God's rules are for our good, not to restrict us, but to protect us. That is how the truth makes us free. Chesterton says that while the church has established rule and order, the chief aim of that order is to give room for good things to run wild. You want more than a minute? Visit us at Chesterton.org.
Each day, the world is blessed by the heroic dedication of holy Catholic priests serving in our parishes and religious orders, in nursing homes and hospitals, and as military chaplains around the world. Since the secular culture is often quick to criticize Catholic priests, it's so important for us to offer our prayers and gratitude for the countless holy Catholic priests who serve humanity with courageous virtue and dedication to Jesus and the gospel. EncouragePriests.org was launched by the Catholic media apostolate CatholicsComeHome.org during the Year for Priests to support our priests and promote vocations. By visiting EncouragePriests.org, you'll be able to help the priests in your life through spiritual bouquets, written or video greetings, and collar-holler e-cards. Let's pray daily for our seminarians, priests, bishops, and our Holy Father who bring us the sacraments and help guide our path to heaven. Thank you for joining us in this apostolic mission of EncouragePriests.org and CatholicsComeHome.org.
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, and on the phone with me this morning is Zach Wickman of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. Good morning, Zach. How you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Good. Zach is the Director of Governmental Relations and serves as the primary liaison between the state branches of the federal government and the, in particular, the legislative branches. So he's responsible for the respect life for the defense of marriage and educational issues. Zach previously worked with Attorney General Jim Ryan, served 4 years in the United States Marine Corps. Thank you for your service, sir. Earned his bachelor's degree from Western Illinois University and has a master's degree from the University of Illinois at Springfield. He and his wife, Casey, and their three daughters are members of the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Springfield. Good morning, Zach. Welcome to The Cradle and the Convert. We're going to talk about forming consciences and faithful citizenship with a focus on the upcoming elections, which are only in 5 days.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Hey, I want to tell you, too, I was over at your church last week and made my pilgrimage to the Holy Door.
Oh, is that right?
it was very nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful church, big restoration just a few years ago, and
it's
really been good.
So everybody's just so confused about this particular election. You know, people talk about picking the lesser of two evils,
sure.
But evil is still evil. As Catholics, we need to think about this the way and pray about it the way Jesus would want us to vote in this election. And I know your organization, the Illinois Catholic Conference, has got some ideas on how to help us out with that.
Sure. So first, you know, I'm not a theologian. I want to make that clear at the start.
Yeah, me either.
I'm not going to get into too much of the, how do you judge lesser of evils or whether you should or not. But what I would say is that our faith teaches us that we are obligated to participate in the democratic process.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of not voting or of ignoring the elections is not one that I think our faith should embrace, and I don't think Catholics should undertake. That said, there are obviously not, and never are really, candidates who agree 100% with what the Church teaches. So it calls for a period of discernment and reflection, and what we do at the Catholic Conference is try to guide that by using the seven key themes of the Catholic social teaching.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Let's talk about what those seven key themes are so that our listeners will have some idea and a little bit of time to think about that before they head off to the polling booth next Tuesday.
Sure. So, well, there's seven, and I'll just list them. Life and dignity of the human person, care for God's creation, protection of and participation in the family and community, rights of the person protected and each person's responsibilities met, care for the poor and vulnerable, dignity of work and rights of workers, and solidarity. Now, these are obviously very broad themes. They cover really all of the political issues, and they can be used in different ways to come to different conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
That's all fine. What we hope is that what the church has succeeded in is forming the consciences of its adherents, and so that when we look at these seven themes, we can apply them to the political environment of the day, evaluate the candidates based on, you know, like I said, none of them are ever going to be 100% in line with the church's teaching or how one might interpret the church's teaching. So there is some discernment that's called for, and you hope that you look through those prisms of the teachings and then understand that not every teaching in the Catholic faith is equal.
Mm-hmm.
Some are more important than others. For instance, you know, the life of the unborn. This is not equal with, you know, I don't know what, an environmental issue that affects one county or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, these are important issues that you need to judge and give weight to. And we hope that, you know, a person's participation in the church and then their thinking through these issues leads them to the correct conclusions.
Yeah, it seems like when you look down the seven, that there are themes from both platforms in our political parties, some which lean right and some which lean left, which leads me to believe that the people that used to pull out and punch a straight ticket really have to, like you said, discern this and go through candidate by candidate to see where these people stand, you know, in conjunction with our beliefs.
That's absolutely correct. And I would, you know, I know straight ticket voting used to be a big thing before my time, but I would, in my opinion, this is just mine, not the church talking, I think that's a disservice to your responsibility to participate in the mm-hmm. democratic process, because, as you say, our teachings cross partisan lines. And, in fact, individual candidates don't always subscribe to their platform uniformly. So, you know, you could have a Democrat who may be out of line with his party but in line with the church, and you can have a Republican the same way, out mm-hmm. of line with his party, depending on the issue. So you really do have to evaluate each candidate in the election you're participating in.
Yeah, you know, being an informed voter is so important. You know, a lot of people just take what they think about the elections from the news, whatever channel they happen to be watching, because so many people think that if it's on the news, it must be true. You know, or worse yet, if it's on the internet, it must be true. And it's hard sometimes to dig down through the layers of this onion to figure out what people really are all about. And so many times the media misquotes the Pope. I've seen two articles this week on the internet, neither of which I verified. One said that the Pope would not pick a side in an election, and the other one said a Pope Emeritus did pick a side in the election.
Okay.
Well, I doubt that either one of those, you know, really bear much weight if you dig down into it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit on a real, I think, a problem in our society, is that even the news at this point has become so polarized. You know, there's Fox for the right and MSNBC for the left,
mm-hmm.
And so you're not, what you're getting is not an unvarnished truth. What you're getting is spun to suit, you know, the narrative or the beliefs of that site or that radio station or that television station. And
yeah.
So you really do have to do your own homework. There's no, if you're just listening to one person or one station and saying, I'm going to agree with everything that comes out of that, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, you're going to have some problems there,
right.
That's for sure. You know, what is a good place to find some ideas on how to get to the bottom of this? I know you guys have a Catholic website, IllinoisCatholic.org, that can help them.
Sure, yeah. So our website, ilcatholic.org, is a good place to find out about state issues. We work on state issues.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go there and find out what the state legislature is working on, what issues we're dealing with, and what we think is important in the future. But in terms of, you know, discerning who to vote for, that's a tougher thing. You know, we as a church don't get into that. We don't
mm-hmm.
tell people who to vote for.
Right.
And we've even, in you know, we used to do things like voter guides and try to evaluate candidates or elected officials' prior votes and things like that. But those records are so skewed by what folks are allowed to vote on that we found it wasn't very helpful.
Mm.
And so my advice when people ask me this, how do I know, how do I figure out, it's read and view multiple news sources from across, you know, a wide variety of mediums. Don't just read the New York Times, read the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just read the Washington Post, read, you know, the SJR, whatever it might be. View as much as you can, learn as much as you can, and then listen to the candidates themselves. I mean, obviously they're not always truthful, but I think you get a sense of who they are and what they're for and that. So it's harder than it's probably ever been to get a real unvarnished truth about people running for office. But
yeah, you know, it is, and it's hard to get their opinions, you know, or their stands on the issues because they're so busy telling you how bad the other one is.
Yeah, that's the other thing. We used to do candidate questionnaires where we would mail out questionnaires on issues we cared about to candidates, but over time they just stopped answering. Nobody would answer because as soon as they said something that, you know, could be used against them, it was.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, Archbishop Samuel Aquila in Denver has put out a letter that showed up in a lot of the bulletins this weekend where he talked about the different platforms with an emphasis on human life issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, from natural birth to natural death. And, you know, I was a police officer for 30 years and was part of cases that resulted in death sentences.
Mm-hmm.
And I've reviewed my look on that through the eyes of the church and have changed my – evolved, I guess is the current word to use. I've evolved on the death penalty.
Sure.
But, you know – you have to take your own encounter with Jesus and look at it through that lens. We need to think about these life issues. You know, the Democrats are talking about overturning the Hyde Amendment. And that's huge.
Sure.
That's the prohibition of federal taxpayers' money for abortion.
Right. That would be a real tragedy. It would compel, you know, urinized participation in paying for abortions, which is an awful thing. And so, I mean, this is what I was trying to get at earlier. There are some issues that are more important than others.
Right, exactly.
And you really have to think about those.
Yeah. Well, and I believe it was Bishop George that said at one time he would probably die in his bed and his predecessor would die in jail and the third one might be executed because our ability to worship is somewhat being limited to that of being inside the church building. And they don't want the Christian philosophy so much to be out on the street being preached or lived, which is what the Little Sisters of the Poor are fighting in the Supreme Court. There's just so many things that it's difficult to wrap your arms around one specific issue. And that's why, you know, they talk about single, what do they call them, single event voters or single...
Mm-hmm. Single issue voters.
Single issue voters. That one issue may be big enough for you to decide. And then, like you were talking, the individual races in the state itself. Here in our area, we have a congressional race going on, and people need to know who's running and what their platform is and to vote knowledgeably. And I think, too, Zach, when you come to a race on your ballot and you're not sure who these people are, you're probably wiser just not to punch one.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that, and I don't disagree with it, but I don't necessarily agree with it. It's a really tough situation because I'm very informed on these issues, and I often go in there, and there's some judicial election or something, and I've never heard of either person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think that's a matter of preference for you to decide on your own. I wouldn't advise anybody one way or another, but it can be dangerous to vote for somebody you've never heard of or know nothing about, that's for sure.
Right, right. Now, do you have any information on the Rhodes referendum that's coming up this time?
You know, the church doesn't have any position on it. I have, of course, personal thoughts, but I shouldn't share those. So, no, that's not something that the church would be involved in. But, you know, it is something for the individual voter to think about. I mean, it's a use of your tax monies, and it's a restriction of that use for a stated purpose that sounds great on the surface, but you wonder, you know, if you're taking that flexibility. I think the balance is, are you taking flexibility away from appropriators to fund other important needs? I mean, those are the things you have to think about.
Yeah, you know, when I first read about it, I thought, well, of course we want the road money to go to the roads.
Mm-hmm.
But then in a situation, let's just say, where the state hasn't had a budget in a couple years, Sometimes they have to raid one fund to actually, you know, pay for another one.
To pay for important priorities, yeah. So, right. I mean, those are the things you have to think about.
Yeah, so everybody do your research on that one. And, Zach, have you got any final words, anything you want to share with us? I've played the bishop's comments from this week, his column in the Catholic Times.
Okay.
And he makes it pretty clear where he's at on that. Can you just tell us, just finally here toward the end, what the Illinois Catholic Council, I'm not even saying it right.
Catholic Conference.
Yeah, Catholic Conference. Yeah. The mission is, and sure. Where you are, and how someone could contact you if they'd like to do that.
Sure. So we are the public policy arm of the Catholic Bishops of Illinois. We represent the Catholic Church to agencies of state government. We have three staffers, lobbyists, that work on it, and we have two offices, one in Springfield and one in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I can be contacted at the Springfield office. The number is 217-528-9200, or by email, Wickman, W-I-C-H-M-A-N-N, at ilcatholic.org.
Okay. 217-528-9200 if you'd like to call and get more information, or Wickman, W-I-C-H-M-A-N-N, at illinoiscatholic.org. Okay, Zach, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Have a blessed week and a great weekend. Don't forget to vote.
Thank you for having me.
All right, thanks a lot.
Right.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Okay, that was Zach Wickman from the Illinois Conference talking a little bit about voting your conscience. We hope that you'll take the time to vote your conscience and, you know, get out there and vote. As a Catholic Church and as a radio station, we don't endorse candidates. We don't endorse parties or that. We need to look at the platform, what they say they're going to do, what they stand for, and pray. We need to, in this election particularly, I think a good idea to pray, to ask God to help you discern which way you want to vote. This next election is going to be important for a couple of reasons. One of the major ones is the next president is probably going to appoint anywhere from 2 to 4 Supreme Court justices, and that will certainly sway the way the country will be managed for 30, 40 years down the road. Supreme Court justices don't have an expiration of their term. They're appointed for life, and that's one of those things that is really, really important as we look down the road. So, we'll have the gospel preview and a community calendar and a few other things coming up on the show. Stay with us. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on WDCR 88.9 and 96.5 FM, Decatur Catholic Radio.